Anyway, we'll start the second talk. So funny, Sister Kinesis was walking over and she said to me, she goes, as I was walking, Sister, how many years are you religious life? 59, right? So I meet her, yeah. Yeah, you've come on a number of retreats, right? Yeah, and so Sister walks over, I'm walking out of the kitchen or something, like the thing I didn't expect Sister was to say was this. She goes, Father, I think you were talking right to me in that talk. Like, because, like, I was thinking the examples I used, I was like, you know, that's not religious sister-based. But that's because she's got a fertile heart, you know, like she can hear God speaking to her heart, you know. Sometimes you can speak to a room full of women, they're like, oh, that doesn't apply to me, that doesn't apply to me. But Sister's got that contemplative heart so she can hear God speaking in some manner that might not apply to her in that example, but she can glean from that some fruit, you know. So I'm going to bring her on every retreat I go to, right? Right, so we'll bring her anyway. So let's continue to move. So I want to help you. Last talk was to kind of, where's my heart? Where am I listening to God? Where am I not listening to God? Okay? I want to talk about a few things that might be sort of impediments in your journey. Okay? Now, the seven capital sins are ultimately the impediments in our journey. You know, I know I said last year that temptations in and of themselves are not bad. Okay? They're not, there's no shame in temptations. Okay? So you're struggling with something of the seven capital sins. It's when you consent to it. When you're struggling, you're still aware of what you should be doing. It's when you consent that there's denial. Okay, so you begin to consent to that. And so all of a sudden, you don't even hear what God is saying anymore. And it slowly becomes justified. Well, it's okay. I want to help you realize that, you know, the battle of temptations is actually a blessing from God. I've noticed a lot of times in women as they begin to journey in the spiritual life and actually kind of leave behind the old woman, right? God sort of consoles them beautifully at the beginning, really just consoles them and really lets them know his great love. And then sort of that little mini honeymoon dies and God then allows them to sort of like begin to journey on their own. That's the part of the natural process, even like on a human level, you know? And they begin to struggle, and then they begin to have these doubts. And, you know, the pull to come back to the old way, you know. Why are you leaving behind the old way? That was great. It wasn't great because you know it wasn't great. But you don't want to keep going forward because you don't like the changes, you know. It's kind of like that awkward stage, adolescence, you know. I know where I am now. I got to look like that. I don't want to go there. How am I going to look? So there's sort of that spiritual journey, right, that God leads us on. And so what happens is we begin to sort of allow ourselves to regress as opposed to continue to persevere. We choose not to journey forward. We choose to stop. We stop the growth process, okay? And what happens is you impede the work of God bringing you to become a new woman. So we have to allow God to lead us to the complete woman that he's called us to be. That complete woman is a woman who lives in freedom. A woman who lives in freedom is a woman who is experiencing the joy of the Christian life. A woman who is not in freedom, enslaved to a passion or sinfulness or resentment or anger or whatever, is not a free woman. Look like a woman, talk like a woman, but you're not a free woman. There's just no denying it. And so slowly, as you begin this journey, there's two ways that we can digress. Number one is put ourselves back in the old pattern of sin. Never assume you've overcome the sin. Realize once you've tasted the sin, the desire for that sin is always within the body. That sense that experienced that sin says, come back to me. Let's do that again. We did it wrong the first time. We'll fix it the second time. So that begins to pull back at you and say, come back with me. Come back. And so the manifestations of that sin that we struggle with, we begin to see those actually played out in our lives. We begin to doubt that we've healed. We begin to question God's authority in that area of my life. And though we don't mean to, we slowly sort of open the window to let the temptation come back in. So that's for the person who's really not living the Christian life and just exposing themselves to those moments of, well, I can just go back there and it's okay for me to go back there, right? And it's just the way it's going to be. The second way to live the Christian life is to begin the journey of faith. But then as you begin to mature and progress, you begin to have struggles. And you begin to have a lot of doubts. As a matter of fact, the temptations become pretty overwhelming. I don't want you to get discouraged. You're actually beginning to live the life of a Christian. A Christian in the world goes through battles in this lifetime. A Christian in this world goes through battles. Our culture is set up against Christians. You are an alien. I love saying that to you, right? You are an immigrant. You do not belong here. And if you get too comfortable here, you will die here. But you are not meant for this world. Jesus Christ was not meant for this world. And so I choose to turn away from sin, believe the gospel, so I don't live a man chained to this world. If you don't have that freedom of your life, then you're not living the authentic femininity that God planned for you. You are living the life of Eve. You are living the life of Eve. You are not living the life of Mary, who are in contradiction to each other, juxtaposition. You have Eve, disobedient, chained to the world, chained to her own passions and desires. Or you're living the life of Mary, says, thy will be done in me. Let your will be done in me, is what she says. And the identity in which one begins to live the life of Eve is that which is false. The exterior thing. I got to look like this. It's rooted in immodesty because all of these things that we're trying to become are fleeting. But the woman who begins to live the life is actually a woman who is free in this life and is aware of the struggles going on within her. Okay? When I was working with some folks one time, they said, Father, you know, I haven't had a lot of the sin struggles that I'm having now. So as soon as I start to live the Christian life, I thought you said it was going to get a lot easier. It's gotten way harder. Okay? That's the right answer. Because when you begin to live that Catholic Christian life, you begin to realize how much is set up against you. I want you to see. I don't want you to be blind. People who are blind drive their family over the creek. But if you begin to see and hear and become aware, you actually are aware of what's going on around you. You will sense and be aware of things in your life and people's lives around you, and especially those closest to you in your family dynamic. You will sense that. And it's my absolute belief, and although it's not rooted in Scripture, that the reason why God allows you to experience that is because now you can handle it. Before, if you saw it, you would have made it all about you. I'm the worst mom. Oh my gosh, I can't believe my daughter just did that. I'm such a terrible mom. Let's keep this from Dad. Blah, blah, blah. Okay? So God leaves you in your blindness. But when you begin to see and get God's sense, you know, you say, you know, honey, is that really you? I'm going to pray. Maybe we should go off to confession together. Let's overcome this because I don't want you to live a sad life. Mom understands. I'm not throwing stones at you, right? But I see both positions. It's sad because I've seen the reality of when a person is, quote unquote, living the Christian life. Then their kid does something dumb, and then the dad makes it all about them. What do you mean, Dad? You weren't the one that did it. Did you tell her to go out and do that? No. Then what's your problem? Because there's no healing in him. There's this incredible sense of pride. It's either swept under the carpet or the blame game. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? So nobody gets addressed. You make your kids sin, And you got like, okay, now I'm just going to get fetal in the corner and complain. It's a sad. What happens is then you begin to keep them from the truth. Don't take them to confession. Or let's take them to somebody that's not going to tell them the truth. Or the other extreme, let's take them to the Father Dan's because we want you to really tell the truth. But when Father turns the focus on you, you're like, it's about her, not me. And there's absolute denial. You cannot raise a family in this culture and have blinders on. It's impossible. You will lose them underneath your nose. You cannot raise grandchildren, nieces or nephews, whatever it is. It's our culture. So ladies, you have to make a determined effort to figure out what kind of life you want to lead. It's a lot easier to be in the lukewarm water, but eventually you'll boil to death. You can make up your mind. It is a free will decision. So how do you tell the promptings of God and how do you begin to discern them? First of all, in the great classic, kind of his classic book, Temptation and Discernment, the author says the first thing you need is interior freedom. You have to have freedom within your heart. The moment that God begins to speak to you and you begin to speak over God is when you realize there's no freedom. The moment that God begins to speak to you, say, hey, what about this? What about that? And you begin to speak over God or write your excuses out, right? Is the moment that you begin to realize that there's not freedom within your heart. I mean, really, that's why guys don't preach sometimes, right? They're afraid of your rejection. I talked to my brother priest. I was like, why don't you just challenge him? Well, I'm afraid, or my pastor's going to do this. I said, who cares? Whatever. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid about it. Just preach the truth. Preach it in charity. You want them to go to heaven? Yeah, then preach the truth, man. Because you ain't coming back to that parish. They blow you off? Too bad. That's on them, man. It's on them. Don't go to hell for them. Preach the truth. But do it with love, man. Challenge them. Challenge them. So the problem that we face is that we don't have the freedom. We don't have the freedom to trust that God is going to actually lead us and guide us. So I want to talk about some things that might lead you to really preaching and talking to your loved ones about things. Okay, some of the, he lights them sort of connected to the priesthood, but I think it's really applicable to lay folks as well. That's the way I prayed about it. Number one is, you know, you don't really, you want to sort of do God's will, but it's, he calls it this messianism, like this Messiah complex. Like you can save everybody without confronting them and letting them carry the cross. You don't want your kids to suffer, and so they never learn the truth. You don't want, it's the same with you. I don't want to go through that so you never learn the truth. So people come to me in confession and I say, hey, that's wrong. Can't go out with that guy again drinking. What? Sorry. Because if you're going to walk out of here and call that guy and drink, then don't finish this confession because you're putting yourself back in the occasion of sin. That's not a firm resolve to avoid the occasion of sin. That's a lie. It's not a firm resolve. Oh, I miss Mass, holy days. Okay, what are you going to do about it next year? Well, I don't know. I don't even like them. They're not in Scripture. Okay, then why are you going to confession? You're in control. Make up your mind. Either make a firm resolve to avoid the occasion of sin or don't. Number one, you don't trust in God. Either trust in yourself and don't trust in God, or you trust in God and He will take care of everything. Lend them your hands, your voice, your heart. Number three, you substitute truth with something that will be like a sedative. I know I need to address this issue with my kid, but you know what? If we go out and have a big dinner, we'll be all right. If I can just take you skiing, we'll be all right, right? Let me just buy you a prom dress. You'll be all right. We'll be all right. As long as we just kind of not address it. Okay? I mean, how many of you folks, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you like wish somebody had said something to you when you were putting yourself on the occasion of sin, you know? Wish somebody had said, hey, honey, you're really pretty, but I don't like that dress on you. Come on, Dad. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, the guy's like, oh, yeah, I really like it on it, right? And then everyone's like, oh, I can't believe something happened. You ever say anything to your kids? You ever say to the guy, hey, what are you going to do with my daughter on this date? Well, I don't want to come over the top. Okay, what are you going to say? Nothing? Okay, great. That's on you then. Make up your mind. Either have courage and save your kids and stand up for them, or be spineless and walk away. Honestly, tell your high school kid, hey, there's boundaries, dude. Well, I don't want to come off the hard. Well, then, too bad. You've got to learn to speak. I don't care if my brother priests speak this way. I don't really care. It doesn't make a difference to me. Not one ounce. This is the message I'm preaching, because it's rooted in what God wants you to hear. Whether your spouse, your uncle, your aunt, or whatever, Uncle Festus, want you to say that? I don't care. If you say it with truth and charity, you'll be fine. But there's this constant fear of rejection. I don't want to say it because I'm not going to be loved. Okay. Wounded high school chick in my presence. I'm not going to get invited to the party. Darn. It's wounded. It's wounded. You're not addressing the problem, and it's right in front of you. That's what I see. He goes on a couple other things. He says that other ways that we are afraid to preach, to tell the truth and to overcome the struggle is we lack fortitude. I'm lacking courage. We don't like being one of those people, those women that is seen as authentic. We don't want to come off like that. And yet you tell your kids to be authentic with their friends, and yet you're not authentic with your friends. How can that be? Another thing that he says is, we don't really give ourselves in prayer, so that's why we don't have the courage to address the problem. Yeah, we say our prayers, but we don't enter into the mystery of the prayer. So it's sort of this superficial thing, right? If you don't enter a deeper relationship with your prayer life, then you're not going to enter deeper into a relationship with your children or the people in your life. You only go as deep with the people in your life as you are close to Christ. Only as close as you are to Christ will be the depth that you achieve with your loved ones. Whether they reject you, don't like it, whatever. The other thing is, we get into this false sense of praying. We don't pray sometimes because we feel unworthy. Again, it comes back to that fear of rejection. Two more, and then he talks about discouragement. If I'm not going to enter into this deeper bond with Christ, if I don't, then I'm just going to lie in the vice of discouragement. It's true to say that some of you struggle with stuff, and that's just God's way of keeping your feet on the ground. Because otherwise, some of you would float away, right? I've never had a bad thought, Father. I don't do anything wrong. Bless me, Father. It's been 3 weeks since my last confession, and I haven't said anything, thought anything, done anything. I don't even know what a bad thing is. What are you talking about? But I'll be here the next week. The call is to be aware of your movements, of your heart. And the lack of generosity or the lack of love. So the last thing that he speaks to is In order to overcome some of the struggles in your life, you have to look at your lifestyle. Where is sacrifice in your daily life? Is it anywhere? Ultimate sacrifice is not the thing that you want to do. Ultimate sacrifice is the thing that Christ tells you to do. This is what I want you to do. And it should help you elevate your life and your heart to Christ. That's the key. Now, Father Sandifoot is here, right, for confessions. I'll hear later, but I just want you to realize that it's not a time to ask those spiritual questions. If you want to go to confession, there's an examination of conscience. These are my sins, blah, 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 and get in and out and receive the mercy of God and live in the joy and the freedom of the mercy of God. That's the grace, man. And if you're struggling with something, then go. If there's something that's popping up in you, it's popping up for a purpose. It's popping up because you need to bring that to the Lord and to confess it, all right, and to be healed. That's what God wants, you know. He doesn't want you to come down with the same nonsense and then bring it all the way back. So I want to get on to a little bit about the battle, the struggle, according to the catechism, that each of us face. I love the catechism because it reminds us that God has created our hearts to love him. We are created by God and for God. And God is constantly seeking to draw you closer. And there are times when we reject God and we've turned away from him. I encourage you, when you're seeking to live a deeper spiritual life, is to look for the pattern of sin as opposed to the actual sin itself. What's the root? I was impatient with my kids. Okay, where's that coming from? I was impatient on the highway. Okay, there's got to be a deeper reason why that constantly keeps coming up at you. You want to go there. You want to understand, Father, why would this be? Can you give me some insight? Can you give me some clarity? Because you want to overcome that sin. So I was helping, I help folks, and I say, you know, tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about your life. Like, tell me why you're always barfing on people, like machine gun. What's the problem? And we got to the problem. There was something with the mouth. I'm like, what's the problem? And all of a sudden they began to like speak, or the other ones that don't ever talk, or they're always covering their mouth. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you got a beautiful smile. Get your hand away from your mouth. Talk to me. Tell me what you are saying. There's a reason, psycho-spiritual reason, why we struggle with some of the things in our lives. I want you to hear that again. There's a psycho-spiritual reason why we struggle. Why does the beautiful woman who's turned away from sin and living a life, she looks in the mirror and she looks ugly to herself? She's modest and beautiful. I'm like, hey, you look great. What's up? She's like, I don't know. She doesn't feel beautiful. What's up? Why? What do you need to feel? You're more than that. We have to go deeper for them. We have to help them understand why. Why? Why do I feel that way? Ladies, if you don't know those things, you will never help your friends come out of their own bondage. Ever. So your mom and dad had a rotten struggle life. How are you ever going to talk to them? How are you ever not going to get weirded out? Unless you've got the freedom within you. You are meant to be a light in the darkness. All right? We don't run around and pull our pants up and go, ooh, yuck, ooh, like there's a mouse on the ground. We get in there and say, yeah, what? I want to know. Because then, with God's grace, we can overcome it. It's those that don't want to know that are in denial. That's the biggest sadness. Okay? You have somebody in your life that God wants you to be an instrument of healing for. Do you know that? They've got the very same baggage that you've got. It's just unhealed. So Pat has somebody, whatever her baggage is, she's got someone right in her life, maybe even now, that God wants to use this gal for, because the other gal likes this gal and says, oh, she's changed, she's different, blah, blah, blah. I like what she's about. And God puts her in front. If she's not healed, she's going to choke. She's not going to be an instrument of healing for that other girlfriend. And it may be your girlfriend's daughter, and your daughter, girlfriend's daughter thinks you're cool, and all of a sudden you start having a conversation with her. It's like, hey, let's go out and get a Starbucks. Okay, 35-year-old mom from another kid and this 15-year-old, and all of a sudden you're talking girl stuff. And you got it. You saved her from a rotten choice. That is authentic femininity. That's your calling. If it is not healed, you will not save that person. It could be a boss that's acting like a hammerhead, and you say, hey, what are you doing? There's somebody in your life that you know needs some love and some attention, some challenge. That's what God wants you to do. Your healing's not about you. It never was about you. It's about God through you. It's not about you. Who cares about you? Reject God. Walk away. But it's about you being healed so God can use you to heal somebody else. Priests who are not healed will not heal people in confession. Priests who are not healed will not heal people. Those who are, they're going to strike at you and heal you, and you won't like it. But they'll heal you. The struggle I put before you is that God wants you to bring people to Christ. And if you've never brought anybody to Christ, then you're not living the authentic Christian life. Impossible. I saw people with 5 abortions, affairs all over town. God healed them. Man, she's like the Pied Piper bringing people back to the sacrament. She's dragging them by the hair. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Every time I turn around, I got a text from her in one parish. You got to meet this gal. Can we come by the rectory? Sure. All of a sudden, and she'd say, this is another me. Can you imagine? This is another me. That one's bawling her eyes out. Don't worry about it. Because they've healed. This is your work. How are your kids going to go to you in 20 years if you're not healed? How are your nieces and nephews going to turn to you? They won't. Unless they see behind the veil that you're consistent. Because it happens in our reactions. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that teenage girl in our parish is pregnant. Gosh, what a terrible kid. All you need to do is say that to your kid, and if they ever got pregnant, they ain't coming to you. Ever. And even if they got a hickey, I ain't coming to you. Or something else happened, I ain't going to Ma. Mom can't handle it. Or Dad says something, forget about it. That's the struggle. What is God telling you? When you are a healed woman, there is nothing that God won't allow to happen through you for him. Nothing. Yeah, you'll get rejected. Yeah, they'll laugh at you. You won't be invited to play bunco. You won't go to the neighborhood pool party. Just adults. I see it all the time, right? It's nonsense. Why do I want my wife walking around in a bikini next to this other guy's wife and kids? I mean, it's a joke. Get over yourself. I see it all the time. I called it out, man. I'm like, what are you doing? Aren't your wife walking around in that? Great. Why? So she's the trophy to him? Whatever, I don't know. It's a joke. That's our problem with our culture. If you don't stand up for who you are and what you believe, you'll be doing nonsensical things that you disagree with. Because you don't stand for what you believe in. And so you'll just surrender. Okay. I want to make everything happy, pacifier. That's what God puts before you. It happens in the priesthood, folks. I'm afraid you're going to do this. You're afraid you're going to walk out. Okay, no problem. But when you stand up for what you believe and are consistent and do your best, God will work through you. And so why are we afraid? Because we don't believe that God can work through us. God made you to be in relationship with him. That's what it says. The desire for God is written in your heart, and it's written in that person in your life that doesn't know God. That's your challenge. You know, just last point and then give a little break. I don't know what it is, but I always wonder why folks are so afraid of confronting their past, you know? You know, you need a strong love for the Blessed Sacrament in your life in order to overcome these challenges. I'm just going to go away from the notes for a minute and just say, when you're trying to answer some issue in your life, you have to bring it to the Blessed Sacrament. Lord, what do you want me to do with this thing? And it gives you the grace to know how to handle it. The real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, for those who have a great faith, is the source of clarity in all your decision making. Great sinners have fallen in love with the Blessed Sacrament. And it has to be a source of strength for you to come to the Lord and kneel before him as a child of God and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm overwhelmed. And I don't know what to do with this. Give me the grace and the strength to do this. It has to be relational to our Savior. Our Savior has the answer. Everything we do in life leads us to the Blessed Sacrament. Baptism, confession, it all leads to the Blessed Sacrament. When you come to the Holy Mass, you must be actively participating, not merely just some passive presence. Amen. Sing the song. Get your $5 out. It's much more profound than that. And what I see when folks want to live the Christian life is that the Mass absolutely becomes something they live for. The beginning of the conversion and the Christian life is to say, when I choose not to go to Mass or I sin, I offended God. I offended my friend. Get away from the commandment only. Oh, I broke a commandment. Okay. Well, that's a bunch of stuff written on a brick. But if you get into a deeper relationship and you understand I offended the Savior, I offended my friend, then you'll stop doing that nonsense. But if you're just going to stay on the penmanship stuff, whatever. Next time there's a big tension between the ball game or this, you may choose the ball game. Because out of charity, right, I don't want to be the mean mommy or the mean aunt. You're just going to do those things. And by that slow denial of dependence on Christ, what happens is he begins just to become another one of your options, your drawdown banks, right? Should I go to God? Well, I got to go to God. I'm going to try this one and this one and this one. But they're all kind of just below God. And God doesn't have this sort of dominion and the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. And so that's where we say, well, I really want God to answer my questions, but we don't really rely on God for an answer. We just put him up there with a bunch of other options, and whichever one pops the loudest is the one we think is the answer. So I'm encouraging you to have a sense of wanting conversion in your life. Lord, I want conversion. God is telling you something to address even at this moment. Hey, I want to talk to you about something. I want to address this with you. But we have to be willing to go there and choose to dialogue with our Savior. No one in this room has done anything so bad that God won't forgive it. But there has to be a real sense of conversion. And what I'd say, just as I close, is that you must rely on God very profoundly, confident that God really wants to work through you to help you heal. God wants everybody to go to heaven. He wants everybody with him in eternal life. He gives us freedom, free will. The thing that gives God maybe the greatest joy is a very faith-filled Christian woman. Because then you're unstoppable. You bring conversion to the lives of your friends, family, priests, whatever. You begin to bring authentic hope to them. And so what happens is that's what God wants to do with you. It doesn't have to be about what you didn't do in your life. It has to be about what you think God can do with you now. So as we celebrate, you know, this time before the Blessed Sacrament, my prayer is that wherever you are in your faith, that you really are open to what God is speaking to you. Okay? God has something to say, but you have to receive it. You know, you can't be like a rock, and I'm in denial, or I don't do those things, so I guess I'm okay. That's not the Christian life. It's something that is relational. You have to open your heart in relationship to God. So since we're going to close, you know, in a minute, in a couple minutes, we're going to expose the Blessed Sacrament.